You're listening to Grassroots, www.innovationstudios.com. I'm Marcus, and I'm back for another week of Q&A. I'm looking forward to this one. I've got a lot of questions to get through, as usual, and a lot of answers to give. I'm going to start with... I've got to mention, or knocking stuff over in here, I'm getting so excited. But I've got to mention the fact that last night... My daughter had managed to sort me out some tickets for a show that I went to. Now, what happens is there is a company in London, a sort of multinational company, but there's a big, huge place in London called Banquet Records, and they sort of specialise in vinyls and stuff like that. And what happens is they occasionally, when an artist comes over and in accordance with Banquet Records, they come over before a tour or whatever, they do a couple of little performances. And last night, there's a place in... Kingston called Prism, P-R-Y-Z-M, holds about 300 people, maybe 350. As part of an album launch party, my daughter Jennifer got Sharon and I tickets to go and see McFly in a little venue like that. And I tell you what, those boys were awesome. Now, I've said it many, many times over the years that bands like that, I hated bands like that, that were manufactured, that were put together and kind of kept the real talent down, if you like, at that particular time. But they've metamorphosized and grown into being a proper rock band. I mean, they really tore the roof off. The new album is brilliant. It was mostly new stuff last night. They only did about an hour. It's like a special thing. But to see them like you're seeing them in a pub or a club or something like that, when I've only ever seen them a couple of times before at big parks or V festivals, was awesome. So Banquet Records, what you do is you go on and you subscribe. Now, I don't get anything for this. This is just, I'm letting people know. Get on there and subscribe, and they'll let you know when you can pre-order tickets. I know they've got Lewis Capaldi there. They've got Noel Gallagher there. Although I think both of those are sold out. They've got Shania Twain there later in the year, but they've had The Hives. They've got Kasabian. They've had The Who. They've had The Lightning Seeds. Literally loads and loads of bands. And they're always announcing new acts and stuff like that. So it's because they specialise in the vinyls, maybe they have a special deal with them, but absolutely awesome. So if anybody asks me what's the best big band you've seen in a small venue, it was Squeeze at Riga, because I mean, and they still were awesome and did like best part of 2 hours. But to see McFly in a little club in London last night was absolutely brilliant. And I've never been prejudiced against any kind of music. You know, it's all music. You listen to it and there you go. And that's why my daughter thinks I'm a freak, because I listen to all of the old rock and the Beatles and the Stones and the Who. But then, you know, it's all music. And they were absolutely brilliant. I absolutely loved it. And I might book tickets to go and see them on their proper tour later in the year. That's how, well, sad. It's not sad. They're a proper rock band. But anyway, look, that's enough of that. Let's get to your questions. Hi, Marcus. This one's from Sammy. Hi, Marcus. How do you keep things simple when you're entertaining in a care home? First of all, Sammy, thanks very much for your question. Secondly, you don't be too loud. Now, I've talked about this before, so I'll keep it brief. a lot of what goes on is a perception of something. If you're entertaining in a care home, and you turn up with, let's say, 2 12-inch speakers and put them on stands, they're going to think you're too loud before you've even started playing. So sometimes it's nice to get yourself a small PA, maybe a portable PA or maybe a little speaker on a trolley or something, Sammy, that isn't too loud and can literally sit next to you so you don't have to crank it up, and you know, because you're not going to be too loud. The other thing about keeping things simple in care homes is... you want to try and get in. You don't want too much stuff trailing. Ideally, if you've got either a wireless microphone or if you play an instrument, I've got a little headset mic, because what you don't want is sometimes they'll come up and want to meet you, want to shake your hand, want to say hello to you. Sometimes, unfortunately, they might not be aware of what they're doing. They might come up and bump into your mic stand. So try and have as little equipment as you can have in terms of setting up. I mean, you know, you don't need to take your Saturday night PA into a care home. If you're doing lots of care homes, play one, put the money to one side and get yourself a little portable speaker that's maybe sort of 150 watt that, you know, that you can use and you keep things simple. The other thing is, sometimes it's nice to get people involved. For me, I play guitar, but when I don't play guitar, I have a tambourine and I sort of hand it out to a few people now and again and let them sort of join in with the songs. But you got to remember that they're people. See, I think people, somebody said to me once, and I don't know why I got annoyed, but I did get annoyed. We were playing some shows in the run-up to Christmas, and it was all it was older. It was an older clientele, and one of the girls who was behind the bar said, "Oh, they're having a really good time, bless them." And I went, no, I said, "Don't bless them. They're people. They're just older than me and you. Doesn't mean they're, you know, oh, isn't it nice that..." Because people have this perception that once someone gets past a certain age, A, you applaud them for getting to a certain age. When does that happen? I'm 74, you know. Oh, clap. But the other thing is that you just... people tend to look down on them. And the thing is with the care home stuff as well, is it's a very, very big perception and has been for 20 years. You know, people haven't moved on. When people say, "Oh, what, you're going in care homes? Oh, God, what, is it all wartime stuff?" No, it isn't all wartime stuff. And the reason it isn't all bloody wartime stuff is because these people are all 80. They're the same age as Paul McCartney, the same age as Tom Jones, the same age as Mick Jagger. Some of them are younger than Marty Wilde, younger than people like, Cliff Richard. They're younger than people like that, some of these people in care homes. The other thing to remember is that people go in care homes from their mid-60s, depending in dementia ones. I've seen them younger than that. But if it's just, let's say, quote-unquote old age, they can be in there from 65, 70, if they're struggling to look after themselves. So you'd be able to play, if you were entertaining a care home and they were all 65, you'd be able to play Spandau Ballet and Boy George. That stuff was 40 years ago. So, you know, when you're trying to keep things simple in care homes, you don't just go crashing in and start singing "There'll Be Bluebirds Over the White Cliffs of Dover." You do if they've booked you to do that. But if you're just booked to sing along and whatever, yeah, sometimes it's nice to have a bit of a sing-along and to find a couple of old songs. But realistically, if you're going to keep things simple, don't have a huge PA. And also, don't overcomplicate things. Play your songs, interact. What's quite nice sometimes, and over the COVID thing, people were, you know, it changed everything. But if you're singing, you know, it's okay to just, if you've got a wireless microphone, walk around the room, or, you know, you don't have to dance with them or anything like that, but you just encourage a bit of interaction. For me, I encourage a bit of interaction. Sometimes I don't get it, but I try and talk to them. You know, anybody remember the first single they bought? I remember mine. Or talk about things. And but keeping things simple, you don't want to turn up with a load of gear because they'll just look at it and go, "This is going to be deafening." The other thing as well is make sure you've always, particularly obviously in the summer, but make sure you've always got some sun cream in the car, because quite often these care homes, if it's a nice day, they'll just stick everybody outside. And what they do is they put them all in the shade and leave you in the sun. So make sure you've got some suntan lotion, because if you stood out in the sun for an hour and 10 minutes and it's a really hot day, trust me, you can get burnt. But most of all, it's just be infectious to a certain extent. Don't feel embarrassed if you're dancing or making yourself look a fool. You know, you can have fun with these people. They are people. Just because they're older than you and me doesn't mean that they don't laugh at similar things. Doesn't mean that they don't, you can't interact with them. And I think the other thing as well is sometimes before you go on, say hello to a few people. Just say hi to a few people. It's not gonna kill you. And it makes it a lot easier, Sammy. But if you are doing that circuit, I wish you all the best with it. It's not the easiest circuit in the world to play, but it's the most rewarding, and I've always had fun with it. I know my other half Cheryl has always had fun with it, and my brother Steve actually doesn't mind going off to doing those sort of shows. They're rewarding shows, and if you are doing it, Sammy, you keep doing it, and very, very good luck to you. Thanks for your question.
Need help setting up your own home studio? Why not book a consultation online? Here at Innovation Studios, we can help and advise on the best equipment for you, your ideas, your budget, and your space. Maybe even book a home visit. We can help you set up, install, and use your software, offering a recording workshop in your very own studio in your very own home, going through techniques and offering advice and guidance to get you up and running. Go to www.innovationstudios.com for further information.
Malcolm. Let's have a little look, Malcolm. See where you're from. Raynham. Malcolm from Raynham. Hi, Marcus. Are there any cheap pickups for acoustic guitar? There's loads. It depends what you want to do, Malcolm. It depends if you want to just make it sound, you know, amplified, or if you want it to sound absolutely awesome. That might be a bit more difficult if you're looking for cheap pickups. But sometimes, just to maybe amplify your guitar a little bit. See, just getting back to Sammy's question a bit, when I'm entertaining in care homes, the sound of the guitar is quite loud on its own. So sometimes I might just put that through through my speaker, but very, very lightly, just to amplify what's there. So most of the sound is coming from the guitar, but the strings are being picked up and just put through the PA a little bit. There's a few options, Malcolm. There's a couple of real cheap ones if you go to the right sites, you know, eBay and stuff like that. The one that I use in my mandolin, which I really, really do like, and in one of my acoustics, which, all right, you're not going to sound awesome. Don't go and do Wembley Arena with it. But I'm trusting, Malcolm, you're not doing Wembley Arena if you're asking me if there's any cheap pickups for acoustic guitar. I hope you are, mate. I hope you are. I think that there's a few on eBay, but there's one where you have... it's like the bit that goes through the end of the guitar, and then ends up being part of the strap. So it's like a button and input beat piece, or input and strap button combination. And then you have a couple of cables that go through, into, you've got like a couple of, they're a bit like 10p pieces, and you kind of... And they've got sticky back, and you stick them in various places on the guitar. You've got a couple of options. Now, I've got one with three of those, but I've got one with two of those on my mandolin. And on the mandolin, you've obviously got F-holes, which, those of you who don't know what they are, they're the kind of F-shaped things on violins and stuff like that. Sometimes you get those on guitars, and I've got them on my mandolin. It's a bit like the Mark of Zorro, I suppose, but I don't know. You know, whatever. But there, you can put your finger in there and push the pickup underneath there and then trail it through. But the difficult thing that I found with this is you need to... I've got very, very big hands and very, very big arms. And what you do is you drill the hole in the end of the guitar. And then what you've got to try and do is to get your hand right in the sound hole, right to the end of the guitar, and poke through the lead so you can then screw the other end onto the... or the strap button onto the other end of it, if you can picture that in your mind. So you've got the, in my hand, I've got the 2 50p pieces, if you like, that I'm going to stick on. And I've got the end of the bit. It's like the what is it? It's not a nut, is it a bolt? It's like a bolt. It goes through the end of the guitar. So you've got to get your hand in. Now I've got Matthew to do it. Matthew's 13 and he's got small hands. He was able to push it right to the end, pushed it through the hole, And I screwed the strap lock button and input button onto the end, and that seemed to work okay. And that pickup cost me a tenner, because the guitar is quite nice. It's an old Echo guitar. It makes a lovely sound on its own, and this just amplifies it a little bit. If you want to sound absolutely great, then pay a bit more. Get a Fishman, or there's lots of other ones out there. What's quite nice are the ones that go over the sound hole. They're like wooden block sound holes, or you get a couple of those. But I didn't like them because they had a lead that kind of trailed down. I suppose if you're a technical wizard, you could install that into your guitar and run your lead through and then solder a jack socket onto the other end. I don't know, I'm getting a bit technical. But shop around on eBay, and if you want, Malcolm, I'll send you the link to the couple that I got. They will amplify your guitar. They won't make it sound absolutely awesome, But the other argument for that is that sometimes if you are able to amplify the sound of the guitar and get it going through a jack socket, you can then put it through an acoustic simulator pedal, which then makes it sound bloody awesome. So I've done that before. I've just needed to amplify the sound, so I've used that, and then from that jack socket, makes your acoustic guitar electric. Taking a line from that through an acoustic simulator pedal. Boss is probably the best one, but there's a few out there now, Joyo and things like that, that don't sound too bad. And then into the PA, and then all of a sudden you've got the signal and you can tweak it from that. So as long as you can amplify the sound that you're making and make it an electric sound rather than an acoustic sound by putting a lead on it, then Malcolm, you should be able to run it through a pedal and get some great sounds. I hope I helped. I will keep your email, and I'll get that answer off to you very, very shortly. But thanks very much for your question, Malcolm. Let's have a little look. Yeah, we've had a similar question, getting levels right in care homes. This comes from Andrea. So as I said to Sammy, when you're getting the levels right in the care homes, you've got to be aware of your surroundings. Now, when I'm doing a Saturday night and I'm in a club somewhere, I'm always looking for little signs. Are people screaming their orders over the bar? Are people shouting to each other? When you're getting the levels right in the care homes, this is a different kettle of fish, because what will happen sometimes is you might play a fairly big room, and to get heard at the back of the room, you've got to be loud enough. And of course, the ones at the front are then covering their ears because they say it's too loud. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm not going to mention any names or name any places or anything like that. But I'm just going to say there are some old bats out there who just come in, see you, don't like you, and put their fingers in their ears for the whole show. And whilst a lot of people don't acknowledge that and get on with their job, I always would say to one of the, I never used to, but these days, if one of the nurses came up, because some of them kindly come up with a glass of water with me or something like that for me, I would just say, can you do me a favour? Can you move her back a bit? Because it's too loud for her. And she's got her fingers in her ears. Now, some of them said, oh, it's Val. She's always got her fingers in her ears. Fair enough. Let Val get on with it. But sometimes don't be afraid to say, because if everybody else seems to be enjoying it, don't let one person with their fingers in their ears ruin your perception of the whole room. You know, it's okay to say to one of the nurses, do you want to move her back a bit? Because it might be a bit loud for her. I'm trying to get heard at the back. The other thing to remember is that sometimes if you're there to do a job and you're doing it properly, if you're too loud and you crank it up and you're too loud, then you're too loud. If you think you're not loud, you're not too loud, and you're doing everything you can and you've played sort of 300 shows like this and you're doing okay, then it's okay to say to one of the nurses or one of the carers, would you like to, can you move her back a bit? Because I think it's too loud for her. I've got to get heard at the back. And although I haven't got it too loud, if they come over and go, what? I can't hear you over this music. So if you're trying to get the levels right in care homes, just look at what's in front of you. If people are getting up and dancing, always remember that it's probably going to sound pretty quiet to you, to what you're used to on a Friday or a Saturday night. You get used to doing the levels. I used to just do acoustic and vocal. And you know what? Acoustic and vocal, I never, very, very rarely had anybody say it was too loud. I started using backing tracks, and I don't have many. I get the odd one here and there, but I try as hard as I can to make sure that I'm loud enough without being deafening. Also, sometimes keep your backing tracks simple. If your backing tracks have got big blaring sounds on them, you know, get another backing track that isn't blaring so much. But most of the time, it's literally just keeping it simple, and have a look to see if people are struggling to talk to each other. In the care homes, they'll just be honest and make a fuss. They won't just say, I can't hear you, Val, he's too loud. And in which case, you turn it down. But as I said, they are people. And if you were in a club on a Saturday night and Fred and Marjorie came up and said, we can't dance to this, it's too loud, you'd probably have to turn it down a bit. Good luck to you.
Innovation Studios is the perfect place for any aspiring singer-songwriter to take their journey to the next level. Whether that be starting at the basics and building a solid foundation on your first instrument, Learning the best ways to perform your first open mic, or refining your current set with an experienced performer, or recording a polished album at the highest of standards. With soundproofed walls and perfect ambience and acoustics, our studio is also a great place for a budding producer to learn their craft, hone their skills and begin producing music. Check out what we have to offer throughout our website. Go to www.innovationstudios.com.
Alan in St. Albans. Hi, I just wondered if you're promoting yourself, should you send a covering letter and a CD? Hi, Alan. You used to do that, yeah, quite a lot. You used to send a CD out and send a covering letter. These days, it's changed an awful lot. I still get a few people who say to me, can you send me a CD of you singing? And I just go, look, can I just send you a link to YouTube? And I'll send you an email with my details on. So you don't need to necessarily post anything, but I'm assuming that that's not necessarily what you mean, Alan. You just mean, should you send a covering letter? If you're looking for new venues, I think what's very important when it comes to self-promotion, and in this day and age with the technology that's available, it's very, very easy to make a pretty quick promo of yourself. Now, I've changed a bit, but when I first started doing this and these promos and stuff like that, I used to get somebody to just film a few snippets of my shows, just maybe over a couple of weeks. And then I would edit that down into maybe a minute and a half of different, maybe slow some of it down, some of it in slow motion. And then I'd put some graphics on there that just said shows available, Britpop, Guitar Legends, you know, rock and roll show. And then what I would do is to then put like a recording, or try and do a recording of different files of myself and have them fading in and out underneath as a soundtrack to it. And then put that on, load it onto YouTube as a showreel. Just have an opening thing, maybe with curtains opening, and it just says Marcus, you know, whatever. Or obviously if you're Alan, don't put Marcus, but you know that. With your name and whatever, and then your details. And at the end, as it comes up, just say, you know, for further details, email. It's a little showreel. You can do that. Probably, Alan, I don't know, but you might have a son or a grandson who probably be able to do that for you in about an hour these days. I used a few things. AVS Video Editor I used, and I was able to join a few things together and play about with that. But there's other programs, and probably do it on your phone these days. This was probably 10 years ago. And then what you do is you might just write to a venue or email a new venue. Or these days, it tends to be Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Hi, I'm looking to play your venue. I'll be interested. Would you be interested in me? Here's a sample of what I can do. So you don't necessarily need a covering letter and a biography and all that anymore. Sometimes it's nice, even on your YouTube video, you could put in the comments underneath or the details underneath notes or whatever, put your biography in that. And then if they want to flick down, they can read it from that. But most of the time, they just want to know that you can sing, you can do the job, and that you're professional. And I think if you put together a professional looking or a fairly professional looking show reel, and then just covering email saying, look, I love your venue. I've been there a few times to watch other bands. I'd like to play them myself. Even if you haven't, just say you have. You know, butter them up a bit, and then hopefully they might say to you, okay, great. What's your details? You go, well, okay, look, here, we've had a look at your video. Okay, great. Let's get something in a diary, hopefully. So the self-promotion and covering letter, it's still important if you're trying to get it off the venues, but it's not as it used to be. You used to put together pouches. My brother used to say pouches, like bloody kangaroos. But you put a package together, maybe in a padded envelope, send it out to 10 or 15 pubs on the Monday, maybe another 10 or 15 on the Wednesday, and maybe another 20 or so on the Friday. So every week there were 50 packages going out to different pubs. And you'd be lucky if you got two or three that got back to you. But these days, people don't tend to use email to correspond with bands. Facebook Messenger, people tend to be always on Facebook. And Instagram and stuff like that, they get notifications. People don't always get notifications of emails, not always. But Facebook, people are always on that. And Instagram, and maybe these days you could even put together maybe a 30-second snippet of something, of you doing something on TikTok and send them it. You know, use what's around you. But back in the day, it used to be self-promotion, typing out some letters, getting a mate of mine to use a photocopier at work without telling the boss, but I won't say who it was, to print them all off, and then sending them off, burning some CDs to send, or some of them were cassettes back then, and hoping that maybe one of them would ring you and book something up. But these days, it's a lot easier. There's a lot more networking that goes on, and you don't necessarily need to send covering letters anymore, Alan. But I hope that you are doing okay, that you're ticking over, and that you're keeping busy. And I wish you all the best. Chrissy P from Sheldon. That's in the Midlands. I think it's around Birmingham way, I think, isn't it, Chris? I'm pretty sure we used to play the Sheldon Marquee. So I think that was kind of Warwickshire or Birmingham way, something like that. But Sheldon, yeah. Anyway, Rick says, what is the best time or the best evening for regular rehearsals? Well, I suppose it varies on, first of all, it depends on what room you want and if it's available, right? But I think it's one of those things where if you start rehearsing on a Monday night, if you've been working, let's say you're an average sort of working during the week band, in as much as the boys or the girls have worked during the week, and you come out on a Friday night and a Saturday night, play some pubs or clubs or whatever, and you're part-time, to put it that way. So if you're out every Friday and Saturday, sometimes it's nice to rehearse. We used to like to rehearse Tuesday nights because you had you could play the show on the Saturday. You'd have Sunday and Monday, then you'd sing on the Tuesday, then you'd have Wednesday, Thursday, and then you'd play the shows Friday, Saturday. So it felt like you normally had sort of a couple of days vocal rest or vocal recovery before you were playing the shows. If you start rehearsing on Thursday nights and then you're out Friday, Saturday, you're singing three nights on the trot. And you don't want to be struggling on a Saturday night having burned your voice out on a Thursday when you weren't getting paid. You don't want Saturday to suffer if you are. You've got to look after your voice, Chris. And you've got to, or your singer has to look after his voice. I don't know what role you have in the band. Yeah, you didn't say, but let's assume you're the singer. So you want to give yourself that rest. So we used to, wall to wall way back in the day, used to like rehearsing on a Tuesday if we could get it. So that way you get in on the Tuesday night, you'd have the Wednesday and Thursday to have a rest. You'd play the Friday and Saturday, and then you'd have the Sunday and Monday to rest. And then you'd rehearse the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off, Friday, Saturday gig, rest Sunday, Monday, gig the Tuesday. And it becomes like two days on, 2 days off almost. So just running through that in my mind, I'm trying to work out what the pattern is, but unless I write it down, I won't be able to see it, Chris. But that's, Tuesdays are good nights. If you start rehearsing Thursdays, then you've got maybe sometimes three nights on the spin. You don't want to do that. And if you start rehearsing Mondays, you've only got one evening of vocal rest if you've had a late one on a Saturday night, which is fine, you know, if Monday's the only night you can get. But it brings me to another point as well, you know, Don't kill yourself in rehearsals. If you know the songs inside out and the band just need to play them, don't belt them through if you don't need to. Sing them, but don't. It doesn't mean just talk them or don't make the effort. But turn the microphone up really, really loud and just kind of spot them through and so they played through. And also, we've talked about this before. Sometimes if you know a song inside out, sometimes just so you've played it, it's nice to just play a verse and a chorus of the song and say, okay, we know the rest of it, just so you've played it. So rehearsals are important. I saw a thing about Queen and they said they always sound check for 2 hours every day before each performance. A lot of bands don't. A lot of bands don't bother. They just turn up and do the gig and there you are. But Queen always do 2 hours in the afternoon because they want to make sure that everything is right. They want to talk to the rest of the band about what happened the night before. Is there something they can add to the show? Talk to the sound crew. Maybe there's a song that they want to run through or songs that they want to rehearse through. So they utilise that time in sound check. So hypothetically, they're rehearsing for 2 hours every day on the road. And most people don't do that. A lot of the bands, once you've been doing it a couple of years, you literally just might rehearse once or twice a month and play four or five, maybe eight shows. But I think in the early days, when you're trying to set yourself a routine, and I'll be honest with you, Chris, I hate rehearsals. But I had to make myself do them. I understand the importance of them. I just hate rehearsals. I think it's an ego thing. It's like, I know my bits. Why do I have to keep turning up because other people don't? But I do. There are times when I've come out there thinking I needed that. I thought I knew that and I didn't. So it's always good to make sure you're prepared. And somebody said, fail to prepare, be prepared to fail. But Tuesdays for me were always a great night, Chris. That way you always had 2 days of vocal rest before the shows and 2 days of vocal rest afterwards. Thank you so much for your question, mate. And if we're in Sheldon at the Marquee again, please come and see us. I look forward to seeing you then, mate. Enjoy the sunshine.
Music tuition online. Have your guitar, bass, mandolin, vocal tuition, even production live online. One-to-one tuition via Skype or alternative streaming media. Learn from the safety of your own home. For further information, please contact us at Innovation Studios at www.innovationstudios.com.
Eric in South Downs, can I put electric strings on an acoustic? Yes, Eric in South Downs, you can. I'm not sure, you know, it's personal preference, but yeah, sometimes they're a bit twangier. But quite often, they don't do it so much anymore. There were two schools of thought in the music shops when I was first in the business. And the first one was to put really heavy strings on an acoustic, maybe a gauge 12, to make it sound huge and really deep. But then they would put electric strings on there to make it play really easy, so that when you were playing it, you think, oh, this plays really easy for an acoustic, if you didn't realise that the strings weren't... Because acoustic strings tend to be bronze and electric strings tend to be silver. And I have put electric strings on acoustic guitars before. If I was playing a lot of lead or keeping myself busy... and also if my hands were hurting, sometimes you might play 4 or 5 shows or you've been teaching all day and your hands hurt. So you just think, I want to play the acoustic today, but I just want to put a light gauge on, maybe the electric set. But my hands very rarely hurt these days. I don't know how I got onto that. Don't feel sorry for me. But that's, yes, you can put electric strings on an acoustic guitar and it will not hurt you to do that, except the sound may not be as rich or as deep as you'd like it to be. But there's no reason why not. It's just one of those personal preference things, Eric. And if you're playing guitar at all, mate, then I'm proud of you. Keep it going, and keep it solid. Lenny, hi, Marcus. Can you recommend a backing track player on Android? Yes, I can, Lenny. I love... Foobar is good, Foobar, all right, that's not bad. But the best is an app called Musicolette. I'm just going to get my phone so I can tell you what the spelling is of that. The spelling of that is M-U-S-I-C, music, O-L-E-T, Musicolette. And what that does is you can do playlists on it and stuff like that. But what I really like about it is, unlike most of the other apps that are available on Android, this gives you the ability, for those of you out there old enough to have used things like Minidisc and stuff like that. Minidisc has an auto pause function that at the end of the track, because what happens is, if you're playing live, you've got to protect the business, Lenny, all right? I think people protect the business. And if you're out in a club and you're watching a band, and if after every song somebody's making a mad dash for the tablet or the mini disc or whatever to press the pause button, it kind of reminds you that they're using tracks. If you finish the song and you all stand there and the auto pause is on, it adds to the illusion that you're live or 100% live. We are live, but we're 100% live, you know. And Musicolette gives me the ability to do that. When I finish a song, it goes to the next song and pauses and gets me ready. And that's a very, very important thing, I think, because you don't want to constantly be pausing and stopping and stuff like that. Yes, you have to press play to start the next song. But if you're the other side of the room with a wireless, or you're the other side of the stage, or you want to do a big finish, at least with that, you know that the song's going to finish and the next one's not going to kick in. That's not to say that I haven't occasionally forgotten to put the auto pause function on the mini disc, and then the next song's just played and I've had to sing it and, oh my God, it's caught us out a bit. But most of the time, it's important to have that. A Musicolette is the best app that I've found to give me exactly what I want and to keep it looking 100% live. So I would advise... I would advise on that one. It's a good one to use. Terry says, "Hi, Marcus, I heard you use the expression paint your door. What do you mean by that?" When I say paint your door, I don't mean this disrespectfully to anywhere, but sometimes they will have entertainment and they will, let's say it's a restaurant, and they'll put you in the corner and they'll just let you have be backing music for the whole night. And it's very much that sometimes you can talk to people and you can sing your songs, but I liken it to somebody coming in to paint a door in the venue. They just turn up with a tin and paint. Maybe two or three people would look at them and go, "What's he doing?" And then he'd go in the corner, paint the door, and people all night would barely acknowledge them. And then at the end of the night, they stroll out with a tin of paint and someone might say to them, "Yeah, mate, you made a lovely job of that door. Really nice." So painting my door is turning up at a venue, realising I'm not going to necessarily have lots of feedback from the audience. So I stand there and do my job. I paint my door. And what that does is gets the job done. And then at the end of the night, people walk past me and go, "Thanks, mate. I really enjoyed listening to that." Even though they haven't interacted like all night, you know. So that's what the expression, and often Cheryl will ring me and say, there weren't many in, so they didn't seem interested. It was a bit of a warm one, so I painted my door. That's what I call it. That's why I call it paint the door, because you just stand in the corner, do your job like a painter would, and then a few people at the end might go, "Nice job you made of that, mate. That was all right." But you don't get anything during. So that's what that means. It pretty much is just something that I sort of came up with. What do you do about burps and hiccups? This comes from Andrew. Not a lot, really. Don't drink too much fizzy stuff. I've never sneezed when I'm singing in 32 years. I've not had hiccups much. You know, I'm going to get them now, and I like next week I'm going to be sitting there going, "Do you know what happened? Only when I got bloody hiccups." But no, I don't do anything that gives you hiccups. So don't guts a pint of Coke or a pint of fizzy or a pint of beer, because that's just going to make you burp. But you learn in the end how to, and obviously don't do it over the microphone, turn your head to the side and try and have respect for the people that are listening to you. So don't have anything fizzy, and that's about it. Drink plenty of water on show days. That is it for me for another week. I'll be back here next week, and I will look forward to your company then. Thank you. Don't forget www.innovationstudios.com. Don't forget innovationstudiosuk@gmail.com, and also you can get @innovationstudios on Twitter if you want to send your questions in there, and also @innovationstudios are also on Instagram as well if you want to send me a question that way, or ask my advice on anything, or give me some feedback. Tell me to jack it in because I'm a load of old rubbish on a Friday night. I don't know, whatever you think. I'm out of here. Enjoy the sunshine, and I'll chat to you next week. Yours in Music signing off. Bye-bye for now.